This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
Hey, Holly. Oh, gosh. I hope you have anything more about Prince Philip. We just, our hearts, we really feel genuinely sorry for the Queen and the rest of the family.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, Lori, Julia, that's the big story of the day, is one of the big stories of the day. Prince Philip passing away today at the age of 99. Well, he and Queen Elizabeth were married for over 70 years, you know, and that is literally a lifetime relationship.
Yes.
Well, we've got some odds and ends here about the passing of Prince Philip. Prince Charles, his son, paid his respects after his father died at Windsor Castle this afternoon. This, according to People.com. This just came hours after Prince Philip's passing. Reportedly passed away peacefully. And that's where he and Queen Elizabeth at Windsor Castle have spent most of this past year during the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, Charles was the only visitor to Prince Philip during Philip's hospitalization earlier this year. He had spent over a month in the hospital, so he got to be with mom today.
Do you think that at some point in the family there will be like some black humor around the fact that dear old dad died on the day of his anniversary to Camilla?
No, I'm sure there will be some kind of joke.
Diana, and she would kind of like that, and he would like it, and they would make a joke about it, because apparently he was, you know, well, we know from The Crown, he was a very fun, loving, jokey guy that sometimes got in trouble.
Yes. Yeah. I think, you know, once the initial grieving process is gone through, then perhaps, you know, and it's just kind of like, you know, grief is a very complicated thing.
Yeah.
And sometimes humor is a channel of grief. And so, you know, they're human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let us all remember, they are the British monarchy. They are part of this centuries-long institution, but they are relations to each other. Prince Philip is somebody's husband, father, grandfather, uncle, all of these things to these people. You know, and one of the relationships I think that was really important to Prince Philip, at least the optics, is with his grandson, Prince Harry.
Mm-hmm.
And through their Archwell website, Harry and Meghan have made a statement today. It's just a very blank piece of a website. It says, His Royal Highness, the Duke of Edinburgh, thank you for your service. You will be greatly missed.
Aww. Yeah. And then would it have like his birth, death year?
Yeah, 1921 to 2021.
Oh my gosh.
Pretty incredible.
Pretty incredible life. And I am sure Harry is coming back.
Oh, of course he is.
Yes. Rumor has it, by all means, Harry is going to be traveling back to the UK for a memorial service for Prince Philip. Meghan Markle, well, she's very pregnant right now.
She's not.
So she is not. She probably is going to be staying behind. We can all kind of make that assumption. It seems that the UK government website accidentally revealed the date of Prince Philip's funeral.
I was wondering why we knew right away. They said 8 days of mourning for Queen Elizabeth. And I'm like, wow, they're already letting us know. Because I know there are binders and funeral plans and protocols. And Queen Elizabeth is London Bridge. And apparently Philip's plans are referred to as Fourth Bridge.
Right.
They've known what they want to do. But I was really surprised we found out.
The morning of Saturday, April 17th.
Wow.
According to a report from the UK's according to The Express, that is going to be Saturday, April 17th, and saying that on April 9th, Buckingham Palace, you know, announcing the passing, and from this date, a period of national mourning will begin and will continue for 8 days until the morning of the funeral.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, on the other flip side of this, the BBC has set up a complaint line for people who want to complain about too much coverage of the passing of Prince Philip.
Well, I mean, that may be, but listen, there's a whole The Crown, and I mean, the life that he's had, even that book, The Rose Code by Kate Quinn, where Prince Philip is part of it, because he had quite a record being in the British Navy during World War II and stuff. I think people are going to be fascinated with him.
Well, yeah, and you know, thinking about the span of Prince Philip's life, we just said it, 1921 to 2021.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is pretty much the scope of 20th century history, save for, you know, World War I. Prince Philip was living a life that was right in the center of 20th century history.
Mm-hmm.
And so looking back at his life, you could look at many different facets of the 20th century, particularly in the UK in particular, but also on a global scale.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you want to complain, you can go over to the BBC and complain because MasterChef and Gardener's World had to be pulled.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, we gotta pay our respects.
And
here,
you know what? I think by all accounts, he did not want a lie in state and he did not want a big fuss.
No fuss. No.
But he's entitled to one.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. But, you know, some people decide not to be fussed over.
Yeah,
And those are his wishes.
Okay.
Going back to something, now, I didn't listen to the entire Vintage Scandal this week, but you can listen to it on the Lori and Julia podcast, which you should get on the MyTalk app. It's available to you right now. Excuse me. But Michael Hammer, Armie Hammer's dad.
Mm-hmm.
Is the center of a new Netflix documentary for his alleged role in one of the art world's biggest scandals.
Yeah. When he had the Chinese artist from Queens who could fake all these things.
22, I think.
And his gallery sold them for millions and millions of dollars. Mm-hmm.
That's right. So this is something that we're going to have to keep on the radar. Yeah. It's a new documentary called Made You Look, a True Story of Fake Art. And Armie Hammer's dad, his name is Michael.
Michael, yeah.
And he owned an art gallery which closed in 2011 after being accused of selling $80 million in fake paintings by people like Mark Rothko and Jackson Pollock. Now, to give you context for those paintings, not really surprising that perhaps somebody could pull that off because Jackson Pollock, you know, the splatter paint.
Yeah.
Mark Rothko painted squares.
Yes.
Yes. So, these were made out of a garage in Queens by a forger and a math professor.
And the fact that his dad got off when he ordered it.
Yeah.
He got off on some kind of, you know, technicality or something. Basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is very interesting. You know, not the first time that there's been the high profile art forgers. Did you guys ever watch the Richard Gere movie, The Hoax?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Well, that's about the guy who was profiling a guy who made fake Picassos and other paintings.
Mm-hmm. And Monet's, I think.
And Monet's. And then Richard Gere's character made a fake phone call to Howard Hughes and then wrote a book about it. And mm-hmm. Howard Hughes had to come out of hiding to say that, no, this guy did not write about me.
Yeah.
Right. So lots of wild scams.
Wild story.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. Armie Hammer's family.
Mm-mm-mm. Wow. Jeez. All right.
I will never be lonely. How much did we love that album?
This album.
I mean, yes. Rocco, if you would, there was a few years where we know the song, words to every song.
Yeah.
This album, and it's so weird because I don't like much of Counting Crows music beyond this album.
This is the album.
Maybe one or two songs, but yeah, it's front to back. This album just killed.
Mm-hmm. It does.
And they kind of came out of nowhere.
They did.
It's like, Adam, who was this band? And they're amazing.
And he dated all the hotties.
Everybody, his magical magician aura was cast a spell
Jennifer
on a lot
Aniston.
Of beautiful people.
Who else?
I don't know.
Well, it's time for Weekend Picks, and they are brought to you by AARP of Minnesota. And we have been touting the AARP magazine, which I find a lot of stuff in. Michael Douglas is on the cover this month, but their website... Also, they give you great information, people. Go check it out. I mean, they're a great resource.
Did you get some of your weekend picks from going there today?
Well, I cannot tell a lie. No.
Okay.
Okay. Here's a couple of things that I'm going to choose for the weekend, though.
All right.
One of them is 60 Minutes on Sunday night. They're going to do a Prince profile.
Yes. So set your DVR.
Set your DVRs.
Yeah.
I think people are going to want to see that.
They're talking about what? Paisley Park and the new release of the vault and stuff.
I'd set the DVR one room in case we want audio on Monday.
Because
it's a big darn deal they've gotten into this because it's going to be the 50th year anniversary upcoming.
Yes, and Paisley Park is open.
Yes, they are.
If people want to go there over the weekend, it is open Saturday and Sunday. Mm-hmm. So people can
do that. You just have to make a reservation.
Yeah.
You do. It's a timed thing.
And so is the Science Museum Minnesota. And I just want to give a shout out to what they are showing. Volcanoes is the movie that's going to be there in Ancient Caves. And that's, you know.
This would be a good weekend to do it if it's going to look like this outside.
I would agree. It's going to be cold and windy outside. Mm-hmm. And then finally, it happened to me. I'm just going to make up lyrics.
Okay.
That's all I got.
Marco, what do you got?
You can always go to the zoo.
Well, yes. I'm going to play a little. This is a band I like a lot, the Decemberists.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, I like them.
And they were supposed to be at Surly Field in August, but they canceled their summer tour. But they're going to be doing three shows the next three Sundays, live streams.
This is the story of your red right ankle.
This is probably the first song I ever liked.
How it came to meet your leg.
So I think I might watch that Sunday night. I'm going to the Twins game Sunday afternoon, and I just looked.
Nice weather, right?
It looks, you know, it's cloudy and nice like 50-ish, 60-ish. But I just looked. Saturday's game appears to be sold out on the official Twins website. Mm-hmm. But Sunday's game, I was able to click on some tickets. So if you're feeling the Twins game.
Oh, Rocco's feeling sporty because you've got that two Timberwolves next week.
So yeah, next week it's crazy. I'm going to Twins on Sunday, Timberwolves Monday, Timberwolves on Wednesday.
I'm jealous.
Yeah. I think
you're
that
fully
sounds
vaccinated, though, Rocco.
I am. I had done. So
you're like the bird that's been let out.
kidding.
Both stadiums were not like Texas, where they're letting everybody go.
Yeah.
But like both stadiums is what, 25%? Yeah. I mean,
And we have people. I talked to two people that went to the Twins opener yesterday, and they said everything's really slick. You feel really safe. The only thing, the kink they need to work out is the food and beverage kink, because you got to order off an app, and then there might be, you know, they just have to work that out.
I'm worried about the printers not being able to have menus. You know what I appreciated at the Bungalow Club? They had a nice thin piece of paper menu that they said they were throwing away after each one, but it was recyclable, and we didn't have to scroll around on our
phones. Yeah. Lori and I, obviously, if anyone knows
us, we go through paper. Do think about the printers, and I think there's something about lingering over a menu rather than mindlessly
searching on your phone.
Yeah.
It's nice to take a break from the screen.
It is.
So anyway, I hope printing comes back.
Yes.
Oh. Lori,
I hope this is not the new way of restaurants.
Oh, I would hate it if we have to scan everything.
Yeah. Yuck. All right.
I did notice this. I'm going to pull a museum. I'm going to play the museum card, a Julia card.
Okay.
The Minnesota History Museum has a new exhibit opening tomorrow, and it's about Sinclair Lewis, the author of the book Main Street, the pride of Sauk Center.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so that'll be interesting. It's called Sinclair Lewis, 100 Years of Main Street.
That did look like a cool exhibit.
I read that book a while back, and I've,
which one?
Main Street, yeah.
I've never read that. Have you? It's not our thing.
I feel like I was supposed to read it in like a class in college, and I got, remember you could get the Cliff Notes version of certain books?
I loved Cliff Notes.
Of a classic book, and I feel like that's how I read that book. What
is it good?
You know, it's kind of about small town prairie Minnesota, and you know, somebody that maybe feels like they're, you know, the people are kind of conservative, and you know,
the story needs to get out of there. It's the same. You could do a modern update of this story. Mm-hmm. I mean, basically, but yeah, I don't know why I kind of cheated on that book.
Because it was easier and you had places to go.
Yeah, maybe.
Grandma's was open.
Yeah, it
two
was,
for one.
For sure. Gomez Lounge.
That's right.
Okay, here's a couple things. Okay. Music-wise, so tonight and tomorrow night at the Chan, you can do dinner and a show or just a show in the big theater side. The music is Forever Everly, and it's Paul and Tim Francich, and then Amy and Boyd Lee. And so Paul and Tim brothers, Amy and Boyd, are married. And then Mary Jane Alm, and they're singing all the Everly Brothers music.
Oh, that'd be beautiful.
They have so many songs. We could do a deep dive, Rocco, sometime on the Everly Brothers and how influential, you know, they are musically to so many bands. But anyway, so that's tonight and tomorrow. And the show's called Forever Everly, so a tribute show. And then tonight and tomorrow night, they're getting funky over at the Minnesota Music Cafe, the good, the bad, and the funky. And they are always fun to dance to. And
they're totally fun.
And we like the Minnesota Music Cafe because it's huge.
It's huge with high, high, high ceilings.
Yeah. And then I have one shout out for a TV show.
Okay.
And that is on HBO, and it's called The Nevers.
Are you going to watch this?
Of course, oh, Julia. It's like Bridgerton meets...
horror.
Maybe Charmed. Horror. Maybe like Charmed.
Oh, really? You think it's that?
Yeah, because there's like magic.
It's magic. It's magic. Oh, think of the Secret Lady's Circus.
Oh,
like
yeah.
That. So on an unremarkable day in 1896, so it's going to be beautiful clothes.
All right.
When Londoners are all going about their late Victorian business, Jules.
Yes.
Everyone stops to witness this spectral glow in the sky.
Okay.
Okay.
And it's not Glenda the Good Witch.
No, it is not. And in the phenomenons, how do you say that
phenomenon.
Word? Phenomenons.
I don't know if
phenomenons
it's plural.
Wake, mm-hmm. Thank you. Young women begin to manifest special powers.
All right.
Think about how patriarchal and everything, how awful it is, in, you know, for women. This situation, according to the harumphing old men who hold all the power, you know, they don't like it. And so... apparently, it's quite good. And American Horror Story veteran Dennis O'Hare, you'll recognize him. He turns up as a madman in a lab coat, which right there, I'm also in.
Oh, really? All
right. So that's on HBO on Sunday night. And that's what I have. And now I've got pickup
lines. All right, just hold on. All right, now should I film you?
I don't know.
All right, well, we'll just try it. We'll see if we can come up with anything.
In honor of the Masters, I thought I would do some golf pickup lines. And then also in honor of just mean people everywhere, some mean pickup lines.
Okay, so, mean in golf.
Yeah, okay. Not that we're... Your putt looks great in those jeans.
Oh, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Want to be my caddy? You look like you'd be a good ball washer. Okay. I don't know about that one. Let's see. I'm known on the tour for having a lengthy club.
No, say that one again.
I'm known on the tour for having a lengthy club.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
No, Lori, we really don't.
Well, you're the one who asked to hear it again.
No, we really don't.
I'm like the Masters, long and hard, crack across the face. I don't know who these are going to work for.
I don't know anyone yet.
So far, the best one is your putt looks great in these jeans. Or this, I just finished a round of golf. How'd you like to be my 19th hole today?
Okay.
Oh.
That
is nasty.
Also could get you a slap in the face, but maybe a laugh. Maybe a laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
A guy broke his putter today.
Oh, is that what they're calling that? That's a pretty good one. That is a good one. I broke my putter. Can you help me find it or put it back together?
Mm-hmm. In real life on the Masters today, a guy did break his putter. In real life.
And that's not a pickup line.
It's not.
Like he snapped it across his knee or something?
Yeah. He was crabby. And he...
Rocco, we love it when people get snapped over the knee. See, you can make anything dirty. Mm-hmm.
Do you get there's got to be some stroke jokes coming up.
Oh,
in your,
okay, Rocco, gotcha.
I didn't want to step on your, because I was going to say, is there a stroke penalty for busting your club over your knee? I mean, that seems like
one
golf.
Stroke. One stroke.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do they?
If you're really good, you go in 10 the water. Strokes.
See, now Donnie would play a bed of music underneath this, Rocco, that we're going to have to get you to find. It's sexy music, bedroom music.
Oh, that'd be great. I can do that
sometimes. Yeah, cheesy music. I like that we're bringing the pickup lines out again.
Well,
they had gone away for a while.
Yeah, they didn't feel appropriate, and we couldn't go anywhere.
We couldn't go anywhere.
But now I feel like things are happening.
Yes.
It really started with the senior citizen pickup lines.
They were very funny.
Very funny. Mm-hmm. So, next week, maybe I'll go back to the mean insulting pickup lines because sometimes it's easier to be mean and insulting than nice when you're just getting back out into
the world.
Into the world.
Yep.
Or do you think I should go with the soft and good guaranteed?
No, go mean.
Mean and insulting.
Go mean and
it
go
fits
home.
Everybody's mood.
It kind of does.
We're just
ready. It kind of does in the next weekend.
And we don't have time for BS anymore.
No.
We don't. All right. Listen, we come back.
The rest of the headlines, and guess who has, you're going to die, who has a new job?
Okay.
And did we figure out what we're singing? Should we talk about it during the break?
No, we know what we're singing.
Okay, cool. You better let me know. Okay.
And I did let you know.
You did?
Well, maybe
you weren't listening.
Maybe I didn't.
It was when you were answering the phone.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
That's 5 M's, Rocco, in M-bop.
Yeah, that's the way she wrote it. But I Googled it today.
Oh, you did?
I think it's three capital M's and then capital B-O-P. But,
okay, so I'm glad that you didn't say we have 7 minutes left, Rocco. Because we really have 10. Or how many? 6?
No, we really only have like 4 minutes
Okay,
left.
So I'm just going to tell you this news really quick, and then we're going to move on. Yeah. Justin Timberlake is going to play Gong Show host Chuck Barris in an hour-long series project on Apple TV.
Oh, please.
Didn't we already have a Chuck Barris?
I feel like we did.
This is terrible, terrible. I don't even want to hear about it.
Okay, then do you want to know this?
No,
Phoebe Waller-Bridge lands the female lead.
We already talked about that.
Fine. Tell me about Sugar.
Okay, so Sugar. I'm trying to convince every Friday, what song are we going to sing today? And since we have limited range, Rocco, we're not you. We can't do Motown.
There's many songs
we can't do. Sugar is in our fodder. It was written by Andy Kim,
which we love because he wrote Rock Me Gently.
And the song came out in 1969, and it was number one around the world, Julia.
Okay.
For anywhere from 4 to 12 weeks. Okay. And my argument to you is that everybody knows this song. It's been in TV shows and movies. I just heard it on Riverdale.
Like it's boring.
Well, Wilson Pickett in 1970, the R&B blues great, recorded a cover of it in 1970, and here is his version of Sugar. I mean, this is a take-off-your-clothes kind of a performing song if you're in the right place. You know,
slowly unbuttoning. Oh, yeah. And Lori's...
Is she doing it?
Oh, yeah.
Lori's in here showing us, you know, maybe...
I'm glad the YouTube camera's off.
Yeah, really?
Okay, so, but here's a cool thing about this song.
Okay.
So, Don Kirshner, the great Don Kirshner, he promoted this song. He put it together. Andy Kim is really singing on the original. This other guy, Ron Dante, and then Tony Wine. He brought it out to the record guys, to the DJs, and just said, this is just play it. It's a mystery group. He didn't want to tell them it was the Archies because they had put out a song the year before, like the Scooby-Doo song, Feeling So Good.
Yeah.
And it got kind of scorned and stuff. So this is how this song kicked off, and people loved it. But it's Andy Kim, Ron Dante, and Tony White, who are the Archies, and it got radio airplay because Don Kirshner, the whole bit was, just play this song. It's a mystery group.
Right.
And it went to number one all around the world.
God.
So do they use it in Riverdale? Is there an Archie's connection?
Well, they just, it played like in the background. It might have been a cover of it or something. The song has been covered, but I mean, I think the Wilson Pickett one takes the cake, and I'm very mad I didn't know about it.
I think we should sing that one instead of the other one because it's more sultry.
Yeah, but we don't do sultry. We have to do the sugar.
I think we should try it, Lori, because our other... All right, fine.
Julia, but everyone, why can't we sing Rocco? We can't do this.
I think we could.
What do you vote?
We probably need to do the sugary pop version.
Yeah.
The bubblegum rock version that is so suited to our non-voices.
But on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm so glad you introduced us to the Wilson Pickett version.
Yeah, we'll play Wilson Pickett's Sugar. Maybe it can be a new staple.
I think so, because I like how that rolls.
Good?
Yes. So you just tell us.
All right, you ready? We can get, you know, we got about a minute 45 here.
All right.